This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:42 and you're listening to The Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. We are now moving on to a sort of a follow-up, I suppose, to a story that came out a while back. And that was when the Minister of Science and Technology, Khairi Jamaluddin, promised that the government will not arrest undocumented migrants who come forth to get their COVID-19 vaccinations. However, the question here is, how can they be convinced of this? Because we've not always had the best track record in terms of protecting their rights in some ways. So will perhaps something like a legalization scheme, which is something certain quarters have been calling for, make this a more successful program? And in turn, of course, keep the rest of us safe as well?
Yeah. So to put it bluntly, I think the concern is that if undocumented migrants come forward, that, as you said, right, they will be arrested, they will be detained, that it will not be a safe environment. The kind of safety that you would expect, right, when you are coming forward to get vaccinated or when you are identifying yourself as an undocumented migrant. So the promise from the government is quite clear. They've said that they will not detain it and that the task force in question is working with the Ministry of Home Affairs to contact relevant bodies like foreign embassies, NGOs and international organizations to help assure undocumented migrants of this. When we spoke about this the last time, this was also something that came up, right? The concerted all-round communication offense that needs to go out in order to A, communicate, and then B, persuade. And I think that the persuasion part is where we're talking about today.
So DEP Socialist Youth has actually come forward with a very persuasive suggestion, honestly. And this comes from Deputy Chairman Cheong Yeok Kong. He's saying that the government should come up with a legalization scheme for undocumented migrants who are working in the country, thereby to create a database of sorts for these migrants so that this can also be used to track the whether the vaccine is working effectively or not. And he says that this will also alleviate worries that the government may not follow through with its promise to these undocumented migrants, that they won't be detained, or perhaps just because there's a breakdown of coordination or communication between different ministries. Again, something that has happened in the past.
I have one question here, actually, and that is whether or not, if this goes through, we would have enough time in which to roll it out well, and do so concurrently with the vaccine rollout. So we are asking for, should this go through again, a lot of coordination, right? Because the process to legalize, all the necessary spots that you would need to open, all the documentation, all the bureaucracy that would need to happen for that to really take hold, and doing that with a vaccination program, I would like to be optimistic about it. If I'm truthful, I worry that we won't have a handle on it.
Yes, but I think that I think it's important that at least we try and send some kind of signal of confidence, because we've had people say this before, that if we don't get everyone vaccinated, the whole program won't reach the impact that it's supposed to. No one is safe unless everyone is safe. We keep hearing this, right? So let us know, share your thoughts on this. How can the government convince undocumented migrants to come forward? Is legalizing them, creating a database of this the answer? You can call us 777-332-900, WhatsApping 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have on the line with us now Adrian Pereira, who is the Executive Director of the North-South Initiative. Thank you for joining us, Adrian. Now, based on what you've heard, how are undocumented migrants reacting to Khairi Jamaluddin's promise that the authorities will not detain them if they come forward for vaccination?
Thanks for having me. And from the initial surveys I've done with the migrant workers and their leaders, what I've got is there's a big gap between the trust with the government. Maybe you call it trust deficit or whatever. So the migrants have been observing the various actions by the government, some of the programs, and the different loopholes in the programs that have victimized migrants and in many different ways. And the concern here is while Khairi represents a particular ministry, the management of migrant workers, whether it's labor or security, fall under different ministries, and till today we're not seen in black and white how the SOP is going to be rolled out. So that is one of the major concerns at the moment, yeah.
And we, of course, still remember the raids last year when the authorities rounded up migrants despite the nation being put under an MCO. How much does that incident factor into the trust deficit? And is it easy to, I guess, leave that behind and trust the government right now?
I mean, the migrants are very smart and intelligent. So what they said was that they told me that, you know, how is the data that is collected during the vaccination process going to be used? You know, especially like what we saw during the raids last year. So whenever an area experienced a lockdown due to high incidence of COVID-19, the health officials would come, do the swab testing, and then a few days later, you have the raids. And this shows that there was some breach of, you know, of data. And the migrants have very, very clear memory of that still lasting in their minds. And they are very, they have raised it again and again. You know, what? How sincere is this offer? And why has it not been done before, especially in the prevention, at least at the prevention. So these are something that will not be easy for the migrants to, you know, leave behind. Yeah.
So Khairi has said that the COVID-19 task force will work with the Home Ministry and that they'll speak with foreign embassies and NGOs so as to reassure these undocumented migrants of their commitment that they won't be detained. Has this ever happened in the past? Are you aware of how discussions are going on this front?
I mean, the government's mechanics and even the policy-making process is very close and very non-transparent. So it's very difficult to comment on what we don't know. Of course, embassies will be the bridge between the government and the migrants, trying to help the migrants understand in their own language, in their own cultural understanding, what is trying to be done. So some countries have already started rolling out the vaccines. So maybe their citizens here understand it a bit more. But still, it's just on paper at the moment. It's not something that is gazetted. It's not something that is guaranteed through a law or a regulation. So till then, it's going to be very tough for the migrants to come forward, yeah, especially the irregular or the undocumented ones.
There is a suggestion for the government to come up with a legalization scheme for undocumented migrants. How do you think this will support the vaccination program?
I mean, that's a good idea, but then once again, how inclusive is the government in coming up with such a program? And, you know, is the government willing to work with not just the NGOs, but the migrant leaders, the diaspora, who's also very much involved in ensuring that everybody is healthy and safe from COVID-19. So there are some good ideas in principle, but until we see the SOPs and what is the rolling out mechanisms, then only we'll have a bit more confidence, because there's a lot of flip-flopping going on, and that only causes the migrants to lose more confidence in the government's proposal. So it's better to be inclusive from the start and have the migrant community on board, build trust, ensure that, you know, the undocumented workers are not punished. Till today, we see immigration status of migrants weaponized in various different ways as a form of punishment, which I think is really not necessary, because immigration affairs are just administrative affairs. you don't need harsh punishments. And when I look back at some of the cases we handled, even for minor MCO offences, you know, the migrants not only were fined, they were detained, jailed, and deported. So, and that is for those who are documented. Imagine those who are undocumented, what they had to go through. So the trust deficit is huge, and time is running out. We need to work fast to bring back the trust among the undocumented migrants, among all migrants, yeah.
And as for you, what would you like to see the government do to rebuild this trust, you know, given the context of everything that's been happening so far?
So, I mean, we welcome ad hoc programs like the amnesty program, the recalibration program, but it has to be done in a more inclusive manner. The number of migrants in the country is not small. There were estimates, I think maximum it has gone up to 7 million. Some more conservative figures are 3 to 4 million. And, you know, that's already a huge percentage of the population. So we need to be a bit more serious. What we would like to see in the long term is a comprehensive policy on labor migration, which ties all the loose ends, especially since labor migration is governed by different laws, different ministries. So it's very messy at the moment. It's not consolidated. So yes, we welcome Khairi Jamaluddin's commitment, but can he guarantee that the other ministries, his counterparts in other ministries, feel the same and can guarantee the same? That is yet to be seen.
So besides the issue around trust, which we've spoken about, are there other aspects that you think need to be looked into when it comes to vaccinating migrant communities?
So the migrant workers face a massive lack of information. The right to information is something that has been a big issue, especially in translating the government directives, the SOPs, the safety and health risk involved. So, of course, yeah, the embassies do share some information. But the Malaysian government has to make it a point that, you know, whatever policy, whatever announcements, including the concepts of vaccination, the concepts of how to contain this pandemic, has basically not been translated into languages understood by the migrant community. So they are now, of course, they are starting to ask more critical questions, but there's a huge backlog of information that the migrants don't know. And already, you know, a few years ago, Malaysia removed the healthcare subsidies for migrant workers, and cost has really skyrocketed. So that adds on to the trust deficit faced by migrants. So there's really a lot of work to be done. It's only now that, you know, Malaysians are now also susceptible to a pandemic that we are saying, oh, okay, now is the time to consider not punishing the migrants. It looks like it's very done in self-interest, but it's a starting point where we have to relook the overall picture of how we treat our migrants, how we show gratitude for their contribution towards the country. They're not doing a favor for us, no doubt. Migrants came here to work. They are being paid. They have also contributed in the various forms of taxations, levies, recruitment fees. So the government of Malaysia is basically not sponsoring or not subsidizing the vaccine. All this cost has already covered by the migrant community. So we are not doing them a favor. We are actually doing our duty by giving back to the migrants for what they have contributed. So I would like to see this done in that framework, because this is not charity. Vaccinating the undocumented migrants is not a charity. It is our responsibility and duty.
Adrian, before you go, has the pandemic revealed gaps in how migrants are being treated here that need to be addressed?
Yeah, so once again, the COVID-19 vaccination is just a tiny aspect of the bigger picture and bigger reforms that is desperately needed to ensure migrants are not abused anymore in the country. Already, we are on different forced labor and human trafficking reports at the global level. The problem is at the local level, we haven't caught up yet, our laws and enforcement. So health is only one aspect. There's still a lot of work to do. And hopefully, a national comprehensive policy on labor migration will help find balance to the force. Yeah.
Adrian, thank you so much for speaking to us. That was Adrian Pereira, Executive Director of the North-South Initiative. So let us know what you think. You know, how can the government convince undocumented migrants to come forward? Is legalization the answer? Call us 777-332-900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have some messages.
Yes, so Elvin says they may keep to their word, but I guarantee that 99%, I can 99% guarantee what will happen is that those involved will be extorted for money. It's sad, but true. And, you know, I don't know, I can't speak to the percentages, but what I will agree with, Elvin, is that this speaks 100% to the vulnerable. Oh, here I am trading in percentages now. No, but I do really sincerely think that this shows the vulnerability of the undocumented migrant community and how susceptible they are to these sorts of intrusions and attacks.
Mm. There's another WhatsApp message that speaks to the same kind of lack of trust, right? They say, after Lanka Sheraton, I'm not certain that I'll be able to trust any promises made. If I were a pati, I would rather take my chances. Legalizing them would be the answer, but I don't think that'll ever happen. It's tough. I think that this does speak to a sort of lack of faith that some of these promises will be kept.
As well as just a general sort of nationalistic, slightly, I don't know. I think that the way we view undocumented migrants, the conversation really needs to shift.
Yes, I completely agree. So share your thoughts with us. Once again, that number to call, 777-332-900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.